So this morning we're going to talk about a subject, one subject, briefly this morning. But it's the subject that I think it's important that we really understand. One that is critical to our walk with God. One that is hard work. One that leads to maturity, spiritual maturity. And one that that in the book of Philippians is very, the whole subject is it's about in the book of Philippians. But if the Bibles are in front of you, if you wanted to look up Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. So if you have a Bible in front of you, do look it up. I don't have any slides. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. And I'm going to read it. You ready? You feel like you're in class, don't you? Gary, you need to stop eating in front of me. It's just It says like this. Are you ready? It says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, for in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labor for nothing. Amen. So today we're going to talk about this idea that God has called us to shine like stars in a world that the Bible describes as crooked and depraved. And we don't need to go very far today to know that Ireland, I love my country, but it's a difficult world. It's a difficult country to live in at the moment. Would you agree? Our news is full of bad news, isn't it? Constantly. And I have to admit, I enjoy listening to the news, but it gets me down often because it's one bad news after the other, after the other, after the other, and especially in Ireland at the moment. But God calls us to what? Shine like stars in a country that's struggling at the moment. But that's difficult, isn't it? But this morning I want to answer a question. What does it mean when it says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." What does it mean when we say, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? What does that look like? What does it mean for us this morning? And some small, a little bit of context for you this morning. When you read these verses, you realize, firstly, Paul is introducing the conclusion of an appeal for humility and unity, which began in chapter 1, verse 27. Secondly, you notice that everything is written in plurals. Third, you notice that Paul is appealing to the church in Philippi, based on the example of humility seen by Jesus, to work out the practical implications of their salvation in their relationship to one another and not individually. Notice the words fear and trembling. This is funny because the book of Philippians is characterized by what? Joy, isn't it? Yet God puts, you know, the writer puts in these words, trembling and fear. Notice the words fear and trembling. We have a responsibility to work out our salvation, but not necessarily with fear, as in being afraid or trembling, but with a reverence or respect The Greek word for fear in this context can mean reverence or respect. The Bible says that fear, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a holy concern that gives God the honor he deserves. The word trembling here, the word denotes or means weakness, but it's not a physical weakness, but it's the type of weakness that recognizes the fact that we rely on God every day of our lives. It's not a physical weakness. It's not a trembling behind a wall or being afraid. It's trembling, that word is referring to the word weakness. But it's not a negative weakness. It's the type of weakness that makes it, that recognizes the fact that we rely on God every day of our lives. And for many of you have been walking with the Lord for a long time. And regardless of how long you've been walking with the Lord, we all need God every day of our lives. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2 says this. This is the one whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Psalm 2, verse 11 sums it up perfectly. It says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Do we follow God with that kind of fear? A holy concern with reverence, respect, and humility. The kind of weakness that relies on God every day. Not a pride. See, when Paul is talking to the people of Philippi in the church, he's encouraging them. He says, you know, if I say it in my own words, he's saying, thank God for your obedience. But their obedience wasn't out of law or works. It was out of the fact that these people in Philippi had incredible respect and sense of honor towards God. Are you with me? And of course, it puts the question on me, in my walk with God, do I still have that sense of fear and trembling when it comes to God? That sense of respect and honor of God? When I pray or when I come to church, am I sitting here in reverence of God, or am I sitting here because this is what I do every Sunday? And I wonder, and it's a real challenge, I suppose, to every one of us to go back and ask to challenge us and to say, God, do I follow you out of that same respect and reverence? Do I follow you because you are holy, because you are sovereign, because you are a great God? Or do I follow you just simply because this is what I do, period? Are you with me? And folks, it's so easy to lose that sense of reverence for God, isn't it? It's so easy for us to lose that sense of respect. It's so easy for us to lose that sense of weakness that recognizes the fact that we need God more every day of our lives. It's easy to lose all that because we just get on with it. And therefore, we become people who just take from God rather than people who actually have a reverence for God. So my challenge and my first point is simply put reverence and respect back into your relationship with God. When you pray, when you come to church, when you go about your everyday life, put reverence back into your walk with God. Recognize the fact that God is sovereign, isn't he? That God is in control. That God loves us. But that God is bigger than us. And every situation that happens in Ireland, or indeed our own lives. Don't lose your sense of respect for God, or your sense of reverence of who he is. But hold tightly to it, because God will honor you for it. Sometimes we forget who we serve sometimes, that he is the King of Kings and that he is the Lord of Lords, that he is an awesome God, that he loves for us, that he cares for us. We forget how big and how great God is so easily. And we so easily fall into the trap of, God, just give me more, help me here, instead of going, God, you are in control because you are sovereign, you are awesome. I give you the respect and the honor that you deserve this morning. That's what our heart should be. That's the way our mind should be this morning. And the people of Philippi had that sense of fear. They had that sense of respect towards God and the realization that they needed God every day of their lives. So don't lose it, folks. Don't lose that sense of reverence to God, because he deserves the praise. He deserves our honor. Many of us wouldn't be here today without God. Many of us wouldn't be here today without God. I wouldn't be here today. Although I grew up in a Christian home, I wouldn't be here standing, talking to you this morning without God and where he's brought me from to where I am today. So I don't want to lose that sense of reverence or respect. Paul is appealing to the church in Philippi. Based on the example of humility seen in Jesus Christ, it says, continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. What does it mean when he says to work out your salvation? We know to work out salvation with fear and trembling isn't in fear and trembling, but respect and reverence. But what does it mean for you? On a daily data basis, what does it mean for you to work out your salvation on a daily data basis? To work out. And the words work out in Greek means to continually work to bring something to completion or to fruition. The practical implications of their salvation in their relationship to one another. This is interesting. That Paul is speaking to Christians in Philippi. People who God has begun a good work in. Are you with me? And all of you here this morning, God has started and continues the good work in you. We could be very like the church in Philippi in some ways. Paul is not speaking to people who aren't saved. He's speaking to people who are saved, who have started on the journey with God. And he's saying to work out your salvation, not individually, but in relationship to one another. See, I can't working out my salvation on my own is difficult. How many people try to walk with God on your own on a day-to-day basis? It's difficult, isn't it? But Paul is telling the Christians in the church in Philippi to work out their salvation on a day-to-day basis, but in relation to one another. How does my faith and my relationship with God, how does it work out with Rabin, who I see occasionally enough? When I meet him for a pint or I go for a coffee, how do I work out my salvation when I'm talking to Rabin? When we fall out maybe and we have an issue with each other. How do I work out my salvation with Rabin then? But we don't do it individually. We don't do it on our own. And that's why it's important to have friends who are Christians, to have a community of believers that you come to every Sunday that can encourage you and help you work out your salvation. Because salvation is one thing, isn't it? We all have received God into our lives. Amen? The greatest gift we ever have been given is the gift of what? Eternal life, of salvation. But it doesn't stop there. And this is the difference between someone who's saved and someone who's on that journey to becoming mature. Because although you know God, although you've received the free gift of salvation, and that we will see each other in heaven someday, God places a responsibility on you and me to work out my salvation on a daily, day basis, not on my own, but in relation to my friends, in relation to the people I meet every day, in relation to my family. What does my salvation look like on a day-to-day basis? Are you with me? And so often we get saved, and that's great. But we stop there, and we become lazy, and we become complacent. And we think, oh, I'm saved now. What more do I need to know? That's not the end. Salvation is more than just accepting God into your heart. But it's then taking responsibility with God's strength, with His Holy Spirit, and begin that process of working out your salvation and the things in our lives on a day-to-day basis. Are you with me this morning? Yes? I have seen in my life, I've seen many people. That's obvious. I've seen people who've come to know the Lord, but they're spiritually immature. I've seen husbands come to know the Lord, but they're spiritually immature. I've seen women come to know the Lord, and they stay like children, but don't grow into what God has for them. And the challenge this morning is that God wants to take you from being like a child, but to become mature in Christ. And how we do that is by working out our salvation every day. I say this, I've said it loads of times, but I don't necessarily get excited when people come to know the Lord. I never did, because I remember I used to do youth work for years in Newbridge, and Bethany's here, so Bethany would know this. And we'd go down to Cork, I remember we were Cork, and you were there, Bethany, and I could see loads of people come to know the Lord. But what excites me is seeing people walk with God 10, 20, 30, 40 years later. That's what's awesome. Why? Because these people have gone from accepting Christ and moving in maturity to becoming more like Christ. And how they've done that is through the working out of their salvation on a day-to-day basis, in relationship to my friends, in relation to my family all around me. Are you with me? And that what leads to maturity. Even the Bible describes it as spiritual maturity. Let me go back to my point, because I've gone a bit preachy there for a bit. Paul is appealing to the church in Philippi, based on the example of humility seen in Jesus Christ, to work out the practical implications of their salvation in their relationship to one another. How does my salvation work out each day in relation to Mags, my wife? How does it look? Because Mags and I both love the Lord, but sometimes we disagree on things all the time. Even when it comes to faith, even when it comes to God, we'd have conversations about God and church. And we have, but how it looks is important that we work this out, isn't it? Because if Mags and I are married and we don't work out our salvation together, talking about it, discussing it, how on earth are we going to stay married? It's going to be even more difficult, isn't it? And it's the same with our friends or our families. It's important here that Paul is not concerned that they were losing their salvation. This is not about losing your salvation. Paul is not writing to people who lacked salvation, telling them they needed to work in order to obtain it. Instead, he's writing to people in whom God has begun a good work of salvation, telling them to work out the practical implications of their salvation in an everyday life. Work out, the words work out, their salvation in relation to one another as they have obeyed, telling them to hold fast, in verse 16, to the word of God as you hold out to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run or labor in vain. Paul is saying, hold fast to the word of God, the Bible, so that Paul's work was not in vain. Are you with me? He's encouraging to hold fast to what? Hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast to what is written in the Bible. Hold fast to what is written in the Bible. Salvation is not merely just a gift we receive, although it is the greatest gift someone can receive. It is the gift of salvation. However, it expresses itself on an ongoing basis in which the Christian is involved in, working it out on a day-to-day basis. To do this, we must rely on the Holy Spirit. Amen? Not in our own strength either, but in God's strength. But we have a responsibility to do it every day of our lives. So what does this look like on a day-to-day basis? What does it mean? Firstly, it might mean we do this actively, pursuing obedience. One way it can look like is by being obedient to Christ. Secondly, we work out our salvation by going to the very source of salvation, the Word of God, understanding what the Word of God means. The Bible tells us that we must fight the good fight. The Bible tells us to purify ourselves, perfecting holiness, becoming even more holy, perfecting holiness out of the reverence for God. It's faithful obedience to daily living with God. Paul describes it, our walk with God, this living out our salvation, in verse 12 of chapter 3, as a race. Probably one of my favorite verses I'm going to read out. Pressing on towards the goal, it says, not that I have already attained all this, Paul is saying, or have I already been made perfect. Paul is not perfect, but I press on, Paul says, to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to which the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature, that's interesting, isn't it? All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us, this is a great point, verse 16, it says, only let us live up to what we have already attained or understood. There's loads in there. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. The living out of our salvation is for people, leads to maturity. It leads to a spiritual maturity that can only be found in God. The other verse that I love, the word mature is very interesting here. As we work out our salvation, we obtain a level of spiritual growth, of maturity. Once we were saved, we don't sit back, but instead we press on towards the goal to which God has for us, for the things that God has for us. Yes, you're saved, but we press on out of reverence and respect to God towards what the goal that He has for us, the things that He has for our lives. And how we do that is by working out our salvation on a day-to-day basis. I want to read you this morning just Colossians chapter 3, if you want to open it there in your Bibles. This is another good example. And there's loads of verses in the Bible that kind of back up this idea of living out our faith on a day-to-day basis. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, to 17. You ready? It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has already forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word, the Bible, the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, as you worship God, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in deed, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And regardless of it, giving thanks, regardless of what we go through, always giving thanks to God. Why? Because it's out of a reverence and a respect to the God that we serve this morning, the God that brought us here this morning, the God who's changed our lives. You have a responsibility this morning. I have that responsibility to work out my salvation with my friends, with my family, with those who are close to me. And it happens on a daily basis. We don't do it in our own strength. Amen. We do it with the Holy Spirit helping us. We do it with wisdom. We do it with our friends who encourage us and help us along the way. But don't become a Christian who just becomes a Christian. Although it's great, but I want to say that God has more for you. But you have to take your responsibility this morning to work it out. And in doing so, what happens is we attain, the Bible teaches us, we obtain a level of maturity, spiritual maturity, that God gives us, that God wants to give you this morning. Are you with me? A lot of you are thinking that through. It's like your heads are just going, doo, 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 doo. But it's a challenge to you this morning. But it's a challenge to me. One word I don't like is complacency. Because it's so easy to become complacent as a Christian, isn't it? It's so easy to just come to church to take, which is fine, to lose that sense of honor and respect of God, and to kind of just give up on a daily basis. Sure, I'm saved. What more do I need to do? What else do I need to do? But God says, I have more for you if you take your responsibility. And in turn, God comes in and helps us and encourages us all the time, all the way. And I have met people in my life. I've been a Christian since I was 9. I grew up in a Christian home, and which is great. But I've met men and women who I've no doubt will see in heaven. But their level of, I suppose, maturity never developed or grew for whatever reason. And that's sad. Ireland needs people. Ireland needs Christians who are mature. Do you know that? Churches need Christians who are spiritually mature. People who understand the word of God and know God. And that's the challenge for us this morning. I really hope that, you know, as I said, I listen to the news all the time. Our politics needs Christians who are mature. Our systems and everything we have placed in this country needs Christians who are mature, whether it be in sport or politics. It needs Christians who are spiritually mature, who grow up from being children but become to start growing in God and becoming, having that level of maturity. And I say this morning to you as a challenge, but also as an invitation to start working it out every day. So that's my message. But it's 10 to 3 on that clock. So I'm very confused. What time is it? 1:45. What I want to do this morning, I want to first of all pray for the dads, indeed for men in general. Because I know it's Father's Day, and I suppose I'm picking on the dads a little bit. But we need dads who are spiritually mature. We really do. We need men. And this is not men over women thing, okay? We also need it in women as well. But because it's Father's Day, I'm picking on the men. We need men who know God but are spiritually mature. We need men, we need husbands who love their children and love their wives who are spiritually mature. We need it in Bray. We need it in this country. And so for the men in the room, and I say to myself as a dad, I want to become mature in God and grow. It's not how many years you walk with God. Remember that. It's your level of maturity, and some of us grow quicker than the others. Some of us takes 50 years. Some of us takes 5 years. I know someone, I remember meeting people who were 5 years with the Lord, but you spoke to them, it's like as if they spent 50 years walking with God because of their level of maturity they had in Christ. 5 years that person was only walking with God. And it would blow your mind. You're like, wow, did you just come from heaven? Like, did you just drop somehow into this planet? So that's one thing I want to pray is for our men. And then we'll finish this morning, if that's all right. Go home, have a think about what I said. Celebrate Father's Day. Men can be a pain, but they're good. They're good guys. And men, husbands, you have a massive responsibility, don't you? Especially today, to look after your kids, to love your wife, and to become that, hopefully, that spirit, have that spiritual maturity. And it's for the ladies in the room too. So let's just stand this morning.